Hi, babes. Welcome to the Highway to Health podcast. We are your hosts, Elvi and Vale.
The podcast for open conversations about health, talking about the struggles of living with chronic illness, coping with emotional hardships, and sharing all the lessons we've learned along the way.
We want to be a source of information, empowerment, and community, but we are also here to show you that we are normal people too and have struggles and off days.
Grab your green juice, lemon water, herbal tea, or whatever suits your mood, and make yourself comfortable and get ready to get on the highway to health. Hi, babe. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Lev. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited, and I've been excited for this week's episode because we're going to dive in a little bit more to something that's very relevant to the both of us and I think a lot of listeners as well.
Yeah. And actually it's so fitting because this week is International Women's Day. So yes. The topic that we're going to be talking about today is very fitting to that, which is we're going to talk about women's health. And this is actually going to be a two-part series. So this is going to be part one of the episode. And then next week, we're actually going to have a special guest on, one of our friends, Louisa, who has struggled with endometriosis. And she's like an expert in this kind of area of health. And so we're super excited to dive into this topic with her next week. But this week's episode is just kind of going to give you a little bit of a taster. And we're just going to cover some basics and then, yeah, you can look forward to next week's episode.
Definitely. And I think anyways, like, even though we will have two juicy episodes which will be packed with lots of information from three girls, I think there could be so many more. So we'll try to do our best to cover what we see as important. And of course, like every episode, you are unique. Each and every one of us are unique and have a completely unique cycle with different needs. So we always want to encourage you to tune into your body, especially for this episode, tuning into your body during the different phases.
Apologies for some sounds that might be coming from my end. I've got my dog on my lap and she's been a little bit grumpy this evening.
So. It's very soothing and that's totally okay because yeah. There can be many different reasons to it.
I think it's age for her. She's just become very needy with her age.
Oh, that's lovely. So let's kick in to all of the good stuff. And I think just one important part, like me and Valentina, we were talking a little bit before jumping on to the episode, how when we were in school, we weren't really taught about that, the fact that we even have like four phases. And when I like saw that for the first time, I was like, what? How does that work? Yeah. What are the phases? What are they called? What does it mean? Mm-hmm. I had so many questions and it would have been great to know all of this from a young age, because unless you know it, it can be so misleading having different symptoms come up during different times of the month and you don't really put all of the pieces of the puzzle together. Mm-hmm. And you might just think it's a coincidence or whatever. But when you understand the fact that we actually have four different phases that keep on going and cycling around each month for most of.
I completely agree with what you said. And something that was super like eye-opening to me was the fact that our kind of the way that women work is, like you mentioned, like on a monthly cycle, you know, those like the exact days obviously vary for every person, but it's very interesting because our world today is very much built around like a 24-hour cycle, which is how men work. And for us women, it can be very exhausting and tiring to be in the cycle of like that renews every 24 hours, because for us, we have these different cycles that renew every month. And so it's a completely different way that we work. And Yeah, so we just work completely differently. And by like also tuning into that much more, you just are able to work much more in your in your element and like work with your body rather than like in a sense against your body, because you're working within your cycles. So yeah, just wanted to mention that as well.
The four different phases, they're the menstrual one, the follicular and ovulation, as well as the luteal phase. And maybe those names seem really foreign to you right now, and that's okay. I totally understand, because I've been there. I've been like, what the heck does this even mean?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we will get the chance to get into it a little bit more today and explain what all of it actually entails. So the menstrual phase, which is considered to be like the first phase of our cycle, is the phase when the lining of the uterus actually sheds, and that's usually where we will like bleed, and that's normally up to 7 days, somewhere in between like 4 to 7 days, depending on a lot of different things. So that's where it all begins, and then we move on to the follicular one.
Exactly. So during the follicular phase, you will notice that your energy really just starts to rise, and you just feel a lot more motivated and inspired during this phase. And this is the time where your estrogen levels also start to increase. And that obviously then leads to your energy increasing and, you know, you feeling more motivated and energized, and you feel like you can just like take on the world. So this is like a really fun time, in my opinion, during our cycles. And it's really such a good time to also just focus on more like social things and just things that kind of require more energy for you, so that, you know, you can get those things done during this phase where you can really feel in tune with that.
Amazing. And then we go into the ovulatory phase, which is where our estrogen and testosterone levels peak, and this will make you feel like, I think it gives you a feeling of confidence and being socially outgoing, having that energy to do stuff, coming out of the previous two phases as well. And I think a suggestion could be to use this energy to really like go to fun dance classes, or going out for a run even, and doing maybe a circuit workout, doing a little bit higher intense, just to use up all of that excess energy.
Mm-hmm. And then the last phase is the I'm not actually sure how to pronounce this, luteal.
Just one of the other things we haven't been taught, but I would say like luteal. I don't know.
Yeah. So the last phase is the phase where things kind of start to calm down again. And this is where your progesterone levels start to increase. And this kind of causes you to feel more tired and fatigued, and it really decreases your energy as well. So this is really a time to kind of like slow down a little bit, not quite as much as in the menstrual phase, but just kind of to get into that headspace and physical environment as well. So some things, good things to focus on here, are really just like slow forms of movement, such as walking, but you can still do some Pilates because you're not quite at the lowest part of your energy, but definitely some like lower intensity Pilates or even some yoga is a really good thing to kind of focus on here.
And I really think like all of these phases could also be kind of like, if we compare that men's cycle is 24 hours, but if we put our monthly cycle into a day, it can really symbolize like the morning, we are very slow, not a lot of energy maybe always. And then we slowly build up and recover from like a not long night's sleep, and we have our peak, and then we go down again and get ready for sleep. And if you visualize it like that, it's also easier to imagine yourself going through the phases when you tune into your body
mm-hmm.
a little bit more. And that leads us into the second point, where we just want to bring up the importance of actually working with your cycle and not against it. We live in a society where everyone from doctors to nurses, they don't encourage us to work against it, but taking birth control and being on the pill for a prolonged time, you will inevitably like work against your cycle and get further away from being connected to your body. So I think that's important to mention as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think also with like, you know, women that work in like a traditional kind of work environment, I think it's really fascinating to kind of see how this, how syncing yourself with your cycle can impact also the way that you work and how effectively you work. Because during these different phases, like we mentioned, like, you know, there's phases that you can, you feel more social where, you know, perhaps you feel more confident and then, you know, you can maybe master some presentations better. And then there's phases such as the menstrual phase where, you know, you feel like you want to turn more inwards. And so that's more of like a reflective phase. And like by kind of syncing your work tasks and things like that, obviously, if that's possible for you, or as much as possible, as much as it is possible for you, is just super beneficial because you kind of make yourself work more optimally, and you know, you can become more productive that way. And the things that you do, you know, you do it better because you're really in that kind of headspace of that phase. And then, you know, you, there's certain things that you feel like you want to do more. So I think that's also super interesting and a really good thing to kind of keep in mind as well.
Exactly. And I think some of the different ways that you can actually work with your cycle are through, first of all, like tracking it, because in the beginning, that's also with like tracking your symptoms in general, like becoming familiar with your body and how it goes through each and every single one of the phases is a great way to tracking your cycle, and will give you some good results in terms of getting to know yourself and your body. And with that, like also support your body through the different phases, through exercise. We mentioned some of them before. Depending on your energy levels. And then you can also support yourself with nutrition, which is like one of my favorite ways.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree. And I think the nutrition aspect is super interesting because certain, like we talked about this earlier, that like the different phases can also symbolize the different seasons. So the menstrual phase is winter, and then the follicular phase is spring, and then the ovulation phase is summer, and the luteal phase, excuse my pronunciation, is autumn. And so you really can think of it that way as well. It's like, how do you feel in those different seasons? Like, it makes sense that during the menstruation phase, during the like quote unquote the winter phase, you feel like you need more comforting foods, more nutrient dense foods. You want to turn inwards, cozy up, stay inside, not super social. You know, it all makes sense. And then the springtime, it's like you start to open up more, you feel more motivated, the weather is better, you get outside. And then during the summer, the ovulation phase, you feel, you know, just, you want to spend all your time outside, you want to be super social, you feel super motivated, the days are longer, you have more energy. And then, you know, autumn, things start to slow down again. And it just, it's such a beautiful symbolism as well. And it's such, it just also shows how we are truly so in tune with nature if we, you know, think of it that way. And I just really love to think of it in that sense. And it just, to me, it makes so much sense. And then, you know, it also makes sense with the nutrition aspect. Like, for example, during the ovulation phase, it's good to focus on like fresh, light foods, because during the summer it's hot and you don't want to eat super heavy foods. And that's exactly what, you know, the ovulation kind of phase requires, as well as the other different phases. And I just love kind of thinking of it that way. I guess I'm just logical in that way, and I like to make things make sense. But that's something that really helped me kind of understand it better. And like, yeah, I really love that. And then another kind of way to, for you to sync yourself with your cycle is the aspect of rest. And I think this is, again, kind of links with the seasonal representation in a way that, like, you know, during the menstrual phase, you may need more rest and you don't maybe want to focus on super high intensity workouts because you have very low energy. And then during the ovulation phase, when, you know, during the summer, like I mentioned, the days are longer and maybe you don't need quite as much sleep. Of course, it's important to keep that regular schedule, but, you know, maybe during the menstrual phase, you want to take an afternoon nap or something like that. I really love to, yeah, just kind of like sink it in that way, depending on your energy, because I think it does make so much sense. Like whenever I do feel a little bit lower on energy, and then my period comes up, I'm like, oh, it makes so much sense. Or like, you know, I start getting a little bit more hungry and I'm craving those like more nutrient and comfort foods. It all makes sense to me. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's coming up. And then, you know, during other phases, like the ovulation phase, you don't feel like you need quite as much like comfort foods and more like light foods and refreshing foods. And I think that's such an amazing way that our body really just like, when you let it kind of tell you what it needs, you just have to listen and it'll guide you exactly in the right way.
Mm-hmm. It's really about finding the right balance for you, and like some people will be completely different from yourself and there's no right or wrong, but really when you try to work with your cycle, you will just feel it in yourself what works and what doesn't, and see it also as a fun challenge to really get engaged in your menstrual cycle and see how you feel doing different things basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like our next point is also very suiting for the Highway to Health podcast, because we do talk a lot about chronic illness and symptoms in general. And although we will go into this a lot more in next week's episode, so make sure to tune in. I think it's like very common for a lot of women not even knowing or thinking about it at the time of their menstruation, but they do experience a lot of more symptoms than usual during the month, whether it's like cramps or acne or even bloating. But it can also be like a headache, and you might not associate it to being due to your menstruation. You might like think it's due to poor sleep or whatever, but it mm-hmm. can be a big part of it. And it's also important that like 80% of women's immune system is actually located in like, or it goes to the reproductive system mm-hmm. during menstruation.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means for us women is basically that when we are having our menstruation, 80% of our immune system is down there trying to repair and work around it. And that only leaves the rest of the body with 20%. So if you are more susceptible to catching on the flu or other like have viral loads present, they might get a little bit more of breathing space in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why nutrition, rest, and tracking your cycle and all of these points we went through are so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that statistic really not shocked me, but it's like a reality check in a way. The fact that our immune systems drop by 80%, I mean 80%, that is a lot. Like
crazy.
And the fact that our immune systems drop by that much, it's like it makes sense that we need to rest more during that phase. And you know, our digestion it doesn't have as much capacity to digest really complex foods, and you know, it all makes sense that, you know, during that phase we want to turn more inwards, we want to be less social. It's like in a way it's like our body is kind of protecting ourselves, because during that phase, you know, we really just have to let our body work on the things that it has to focus on, and we really just have to give it that space and dedicate that time and energy to that phase. And yeah, I think it's amazing that, you know, nowadays people are becoming much more aware of it, because it is so important for, you know, women's health. And there's a lot of external factors that we can't control that affect our health and our fertility and all these different things. And so by being able to kind of, you know, pay more attention to this part, which is something that we can control, it's just so amazing that, you know, we are able to kind of tune into that now and we have the information to do it, even if we should have had it earlier on, but at least we're having it now. And, you know, we can do our research on it, and hopefully in the future, young girls will, you know, get educated on this much, much earlier. And yeah.
Exactly. And I also think it's like this important, this information that we're sharing with all of you is just to be like really encouraging you and not, rather feel empowered with the information, because when usually when I had my period, I would become super sick and wouldn't be able to do anything, laying in bed for like 2 weeks in a row each month. And of course, that's not like even realistic if you want to have a life and like do things. And
that's pretty much half of your time if it's like 2 weeks and then the other 2 weeks.
And I mean, then also I wouldn't even understand at first, like, how is this possible? But it is possible to experience flare-ups and symptoms during menstruation if you suffer from chronic illness. So really take this information as words of encouragement, because when you start tracking and start taking care of yourself, then you can give yourself the right support in terms of like especially rest and nutrition.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think one thing that's also important to mention is the fact that you can heal from these symptoms. I know that I was similar to you when I was younger. Whenever I did have my menstruation, I was just out for not necessarily 2 weeks, but definitely like a week. And you know, I was pretty much bedridden for that time. And it's crazy for me to imagine that now, because it's just, you are able to heal from it. And I think Louisa next week is really going to be able to showcase her journey with this, and how she has been able to heal from this. And yeah, just knowing that these symptoms are not, you don't have to go through these symptoms, like you are able to heal from them. And I think especially with medical medium information, I have been able to heal, like I want to say 80-90% of my symptoms from like my menstruation. And I'm so grateful for that, because like we mentioned, like you can't just put your life on hold every every 2 weeks for 2 weeks, and that's just not realistic. And so just know that there is hope and you definitely can heal from this. And it does obviously we have a lot of we have we're tongue twisting ourselves a lot today, but I was gonna say, yeah, it does take time for sure, but I think when you, especially with nutrition, you can do so much with nutrition, and just focusing on the right foods during each phase is so important, and that alone can just help support your body in such an amazing way. And you know what we mentioned earlier about movement during the different phases, I think that's also such a key thing to kind of focus on, because your energy kind of sways and shifts in a lot of different ways during these phases. And if you push yourself too far in certain phases, you're just going to make yourself feel really exhausted, and that's just going to cause more symptoms and you just feeling out of whack pretty much for the rest of the time, or for the rest of the cycle. And so that's something that's really amazing that you can do, and that you have control over as well, because obviously there is a lot of things that we can't control, but we try to focus on the things that we can't control.
It's all about the mindset, sis. And I definitely agree, like with what Valentina said, not pushing yourself. And because we, like, I think it's in us biologically that we want to be there for others. We want to be caretakers. We want to be providers and help people who don't feel well. But we tend to put ourselves second. And then, like, in order to do that, when you're actually sick or when you're having your period and you don't feel your best and you push through doing that, like, once every month from the time you got your period until menopause. That's a lot of years that you've been kind of ignoring all mm-hmm. of the signs that your body has been giving you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can just take this episode as a little reminder, that's a great place to start.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the next phase of this episode is going a little bit more into the movement, because I personally think it's a really good way to support yourself through the phases. And as there are four phases, there are some different recommendations. But I think the good place to start is actually when you're on your period during the menstrual phase, where a lot of people can experience a lot of discomfort and pain, especially not having a lot of energy and fatigue. Maybe some people even experience bad migraine. So this is really a good time to allow yourself to maybe not even do movement. You can just lay in bed and visualize yourself doing yoga or doing a meditation, putting on a guided meditation on your phone and do some restorative breath work, or some stretching and gentle yoga, I would say, is like the optimal for this phase.
Mm-hmm.
Even though a lot of people might not even notice their period at all anymore because they've healed and they're really in alignment, I still think it's good to have these different phases to go by so that you get a little bit of different movement during the whole month.
Mm-hmm.
Also to navigate what works best for you and not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think this is just such an amazing time to kind of, we always say this, but like turn inwards and just use this time to really reflect and, you know, ask yourself what you really need. And maybe you can, you know, do like a list of energy givers and drainers, and yeah, just like journal a bunch. And like you mentioned, just do some gentle stretching or yoga. I think walking is also an amazing one, obviously low impact. So not too long, and like, yeah, so that you don't get exhausted, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the next phase is the follicular phase. And here, as we mentioned earlier, your energy really starts to increase. And so this is a good time to kind of focus on slightly higher intensity workouts. So you can do things like cycling or hiking. Running is also a good one. And you can also focus more on strength training. And also another good one is like a little bit higher intensity Pilates. Or even some hot yoga, I think is also amazing. So just things that, you know, you feel like you need a little bit more energy for. This phase is like the perfect phase for you to do that. Personally, I noticed that after I'm finished with my period, I feel like I'm on top of the world and I can conquer anything. So this is a really great time to kind of do those things that you feel are also challenging for yourself, because you feel really confident. And so these are some really good movement or different exercises that you can kind of try out during this phase.
Both of the follicular and the ovulatory phase, they kind of connect together in that sense that they both bring a lot of energy in different kind of ways. Mm-hmm. And this is a better time to really focus on those like bursts of energy kind of workouts if you have the means and you don't feel like it takes too much from your energy if you're sick with a chronic illness. But I think sprinting is a really nice way, like putting on some really motivating music that gets you pumped and happy and hyped, and even doing high intensity interval training. And what I like to do is like, or I don't really do it, but I think it's a really nice way, like warming up and trying to have a balance in my workout. And it was like walking maybe from, what do you call it? Like the light post. Like I would walk between two light posts on a walk.
Like a light? Like a literal light on the street?
Yeah,
I think so. I'm not sure what they're
called. Yeah, we'll call them light posts, like a light on the street. So I would walk between like one, I would walk from one to the other,
mm-hmm.
and then I would sprint for like two or three, and then I would walk from one to the other and sprint two or
amazing.
Three. And that's
cool.
Like available to anyone. And if you don't, like if you can't exhaust in quotation marks, your body in that way. You can even like walk slow and then walk a little faster,
mm-hmm.
walk slow, walk a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a really good way to get to know your body and like feel your heartbeat. Notice how you're breathing, if you're really breathing into your lungs or you're just breathing up in your chest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also a really good exercise.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's amazing. And yeah, like with all of these workouts, like I feel like everything is possible at home as well. I feel like the pandemic really just showed us that. And mm-hmm. there's so many home workouts available on YouTube and things like that, or even Instagram, that you can, you know, use and benefit from. But what you mentioned earlier about if you do suffer from a chronic illness and you really don't feel like you're able to do these higher intensity trainings, something that I love to do, and that is kind of like along these lines of like, you know, more, it uses more energy but is still slightly more gentle, is to do some higher intensity yoga flows. And I think this is just such an amazing thing because yoga is obviously really focused on your breath, and I feel like that just, it challenges you, but at the same time, you're really in tune with yourself. And so that was really just an amazing way for me to kind of get into that more higher intensity after I was so sick, but not push myself completely like past like exhaustion. And I feel like that's still super enjoyable, like such as like some vinyasa flows. I really love doing that. And yeah, it just challenges you, but is still not too exhausting on your body.
Mm-hmm. Yoga is our best friend, literally.
Yeah, yeah. So the last phase, the luteal phase.
You always get the last one.
Yeah. But you guys know what it is now. So this time, as we mentioned earlier, is obviously a time where things kind of start to slow down again and your energy starts to decrease. So this is really, again, a good time for you to kind of focus more on like walking and kind of slower and lower intensity workouts, such as yoga and some low intensity Pilates. And you can still do some strength training, but I think it's definitely like important to listen to your body during this time and, you know, not push yourself too far. So maybe don't go as heavy as you would usually, but just, yeah, still challenge yourself, but not quite as much as you would in the follicular and ovulation phase. And I think I mentioned yoga already, but I think yoga is also a really great one to kind of focus on here, because as I mentioned, you really just like are super in tune with your body during the flows. And there's obviously so many different types of yoga. So I think a really good one for this phase is hatha yoga. And then during the menstruation phase is like yin yoga is a really good one to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yoga can follow you through all the phases. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it can really be your best friend in all of them.
Yeah.
And leaving movement, let's quickly move on to like foods that you can be implementing throughout the phases to support a healthier period, and feeling your best self throughout each and every one of the phases. And like Valentina mentioned with the seasons, I really love this comparison because you can imagine yourself, if you live in a place where you have all of the four seasons, what food are you craving during winter, for example, which is the menstrual phase? And at least for me, that's literally a little bit more of the warming foods, maybe a nice stew, potatoes. Yeah, maybe more like warm cooked foods, mm-hmm. Comfort food, and nutrient dense. And I think the important thing to mention here is that we do, of course, like bleed. So replenishing that with iron and zinc rich food, but also in anti-inflammatory foods, because like we mentioned before, 80% of our immune system is down by the reproductive system. So we really want to boost our body. And also, of course, make sure to hydrate, because that will really help our bodies hugely into replenishing and rehydrating and getting back all of the nutrients and bringing it out to every corner of the body.
Mm-hmm. And something else that I quickly want to mention here as well is that, like we mentioned, 80% of our immune system is dedicated to our menstruation during our bleeding phase. And something that I learned recently as well is that we actually need to consume more food or more calories during this time. So on average, I think it's around like 200 more calories. And so I think it's super important to mention this because, you know, for us women, we have those like cravings and like we could literally devour anything in front of us. I feel like at least that's the case for me and some girls that I know. And so I think that's just a really important reminder that, yeah, don't be hard on yourself if you feel like you need more food during this phase, because it is normal. And it's important to not, you know, under eat during this phase, or I mean, in general, obviously, but especially during this phase, because you really are supporting your body in a different way. And so this is super important as well. And just from the mental aspect, obviously as well, it's good to kind of not be too hard on yourself because of this, because it is completely normal. And yeah, that's just something that I wanted to mention.
Well said, babe.
But moving on to the follicular phase. So obviously this is in the seasonal sense, this is spring. So this is really a phase where you can focus more on like the fresh foods, maybe some more fruit, like a lot of different colors and vibrant foods, and as well as like light foods. So a lot of leafy greens, and you can also include some more sprouted foods. And I think this is, yeah, just imagine yourself during the springtime, what kind of foods would, you know, you would focus on more, you would be craving. So I think that's something that is really amazing. And yeah, just kind of switching from the more comforting, more nutrient dense foods to kind of the more light foods and maybe like more raw foods and like that transition phase. So kind of having a balance between the both.
Love it. And as we mentioned, ovulatory phase is a little bit hand in hand with the follicular one. And in summer, you still have that abundance of energy, and you want to be eating light foods, raw foods, and especially foods that support the liver, because after the heightened levels of estrogen, we want to really support our liver extra much in restoring back from that. Hence eating lots of leafy greens and fiber-rich foods as well. And lighter grains can also be included to ease into the luteal phase then.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So then coming on to the last phase, the luteal this is obviously the phase where we come into autumn, and this is, you know, you kind of transition from the lighter raw foods to more comforting foods. So here you can again focus more on some steamed veggies, and more complex carbs as well is really good, and just bringing in more of those like nutrients such as calcium and magnesium to kind of help your body support you when it transitions to the menstrual phase. And again, this is just a really good phase to kind of focus on those more starchy vegetables, and you know, obviously still including some or a lot of leafy greens. And yeah, you can bring in some more grains perhaps, and just making you feel really comfy and warm inside as well, for you to prepare yourself for the menstrual phase, and then it all starts back again.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good thing, because even though you might feel a little bit misinformed in general around menstruation, now hopefully you have some more information and you can start experimenting with all of these different strategies and tips that we left with you here until, and see maybe as a little homework until next week's episode, so that you can add on to what you learned today and not let it be too overwhelming, because in the end we're all unique. Even though we have a menstrual cycle, mine is different from Valentina's, which is different from yours. So Just get to know your body and really try to support it in the best way possible, which is the best thing you can do for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it will really thank you. And like Valentina said as well, if you do have a lot of symptoms occur during your period, you can truly heal from it. And it's actually such a biological and beautiful thing about us women that we should go through with ease.
Mm-hmm.
But due to a lot of external factors that we can control, unfortunately, we do experience heightened symptoms or occurring symptoms during those phases. And it can be really tough and discouraging and make some women like hate being on their period, which I know was true for me as well. But when you heal and you become like tuned or in alignment with your body, that's like the most beautiful thing ever.
I couldn't have said it better. Yeah. And yeah, I think also with like hating your period, I think it's so important to just also be grateful for the fact that you do have your period. Because obviously there is a lot of women out there that don't have their periods and struggle to, you know, get it back. And so definitely be grateful for that, because in the end it does enable us for a lot of beautiful things. And, you know, when you really start to tune in with yourself and your body, you are able to decrease those symptoms a lot. We both have been able to, and I think next week's episode you'll really be able to also get a deeper insight into somebody who obviously struggled with endometriosis in a very extreme situation of this topic. And yeah, for any of you that do struggle with that, I think that'll be really helpful and enlightening. So we're really looking forward to that, and I hope you are too.
We are. So let's say it like that for now, and yeah, can't wait to jump on to next week's episode as well.
Yay, me too.
All right. Bye, love. Thank you for tuning in for this week's episode.
If you found something helpful, make sure to share this episode with your friend or a loved one you think could benefit from it.
And if you enjoyed the podcast, make sure to subscribe and leave a review, because it really helps spread the word to more health babes around.
If you haven't already, also make sure to follow our Instagram at Highway to Health Pod to stay up to date and connected on our upcoming episodes. And also follow our personal accounts at She's Powered by Plants and at LV Heels to get to know us even better.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.